everybody doing tonight? Great. So my name is Ashley Harrington. I am on the steering committee with Black Lives Matter Cincinnati, and I'm super happy to be here tonight. We consider ourselves definitely a part of the movement. It's beautiful to see a lot of people here who are ready to build a movement, because that's why we're here. So I think it's really important to speak on the connection between state violence and gentrification, and that's what I'm going to focus on. Before I go into the modern context of gentrification, I think it's extremely important to point out that this country was founded on caring more about property, capital, cotton, tobacco, than Black and Native bodies. That it was founded on, the core of capitalism of this country was founded on the exploitation of marginalized bodies. And so that sort of legacy is what we continue to see with what's happening today. And so the police have been used as a tool to maintain this sort of violence that has been created. And so I thought it was pretty interesting when you asked the who are the actors questions, police came up really towards the end. Because a lot of times when we think about who are the actors with gentrification, we think about landlords, developers, tenants facing eviction, long-time residents, rich newcomers. But we often leave out the police and the role that the police play in fueling gentrification in our neighborhoods. So one thing to look at when talking about the role that police plays is the amount of non-emergency calls for quality of life problems like graffiti or dirty sidewalks that increase in heavily gentrified neighborhoods. And so what police do is they crack down on these sort of petty offenses that have little to no effect on preventing serious crime. But what they do is they criminalize certain already marginalized groups. And so these sort of non-emergency calls are part of order-maintaining policing, which is what we see a lot of times in communities that are gentrifying. And so this sort of order-maintaining policing by cracking down on these non-serious, non-petty crimes focuses or rests on this theory called broken windows theory. And so it's this theory that if there are broken windows in a neighborhood, if you don't deal with that problem, there will become more broken windows and there will be more looting or more criminal activity in the neighborhood. And so what you find when you actually look at this sort of problematic theory is that cracking down on petty offenses really has little to no effect on preventing serious crimes. But what it does do, however, is continue to criminalize certain already marginalized groups of people, so people of color, working class people in the community. And so it reveals the assumption that the world is neatly divided into two categories, folks who are law-abiding people and folks who are non-law-abiding people. And so the folks who are considered the non-law-abiding people is really heavily influenced by class and race. And so that's what you see, because you can ask just about anybody. Everybody's broken the law. I've definitely broken laws. And so there are certain people that are carboy and others that are not. And so basically the police are merely doing exactly what they were designed to do, with this idea of social regulation. That's why if you go down just a few streets, you can very easily see the difference in the police presence in certain areas versus, versus just a few streets down. It almost doubles. And so I think it's really important to realize that it's not just landlords, developers, and speculators who are involved in this problem, but they work in tandem with the police to kick out marginalized communities, both through direct and indirect strategies, by harshly cracking down on crime, making folks feel unwelcome, enforcing evictions, disproportionately incarcerating and killing people of color. And the police are, and the criminal justice system, in a lot of ways, just